Invite you to open your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3 this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 3, if you will. The Apostle Paul, in writing the second letter to Timothy, as he closes or comes near to the close of the letter, he writes in verse 1 of chapter 3, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, and disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away." There's quite a list here of what Paul says that we would be faced with and dealing with in the last days, which we're in. The last days being the last dispensation of God's will, of His law, and we're living in that today, the gospel dispensation or the dispensation of Christ. But he says that along with these last days, there would be perilous times. And what I want you to notice is that he mentions first here in verse 2 that there would be those who would be lovers of money. Certainly this is something that we considered over the last couple of weeks. I had a two-part lesson on materialism, and I believe it was kind of right in conjunction with the Bible class period where you were studying covetousness. I think Dave was teaching the class there. But we've been looking at this problem of being lovers of money. And it's really, while I haven't announced it, it's kind of in a series of lessons that I'm doing that have to do with worldliness. We use that term a lot, worldliness, and we're really talking about being of a mindset that is of this world. There are those who are of this world. We live in this world, but we're not of this world. The world hates us as it hated Jesus. The world does not comprehend. It does not understand really why we are who we are, why we do what we do. And so we're constantly in this battle of being pulled back and forth, of loving God with all of our heart, mind, and soul, and then of loving the things of this world and becoming worldly. And so in considering that struggle and that battle that we're all faced with, I really began the series with a study on materialism. It fits within the study that we've been doing along the lines of perfecting holiness and the fear of God. We looked at the issue of modest apparel. We're going to be looking at some other subjects along with that. All of these come back to this issue of fighting the good fight, where we're putting off the things of this world and we're clinging to those things of God. This love of money is one of those things. But I want you to notice another thing in this list. And I want to follow that study with materialism with another point here. And in this list, he goes on down and in verse 4, he speaks about those who are lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And I believe that while money and material things is one of the great battles that we face with the world pulling at us, I want to tell you another one, and that is simply entertainment. The idea of pleasure or of fun. And in our modern nation of big business, I think that we can all admit that fun or entertainment has become one of the biggest businesses of all. As a matter of fact, in our country, we have become a society that is all but obsessed with leisure, vacation, amusement, playtime in all of its forms, arts, entertainment, recreation, sports, hobbies, crafts, travel. People are making fortunes out of supplying supplies for people to have fun or to do crafts or hobbies. Now, I remember when scrapbooking first came up, and I noticed that somebody was making a fortune out of simply putting together the material that's necessary for scrapbooking. As a matter of fact, I have a good friend in Kentucky, his daughter and her husband started a business, and they cannot hire enough people right now to be able to get all of the the things out for people to scrapbook. And that's a wholesome thing to do. But my point is this, that my grandparents lived in a generation where, first of all, no one had the money to buy things like that, and they certainly didn't have the time to be doing things like that. Our society has changed. There is absolutely no doubt about it. I think it'd be impossible to even estimate all of the time and the money and the interest that we invest, even ourselves as Christians, in these actions and these activities. Certainly it'd be impossible to do so as a nation. I want you to think about just the importance that we place on sports. And I'm not going to pick on sports. I like sports. My kids are involved in sports. Nothing against that. But we see this as such a big business. And it's interesting that back in the, even in the 1980s, the question was asked of amateur athletes, if you could take a drug that would guarantee you'd win an Olympic gold medal, but it would kill you in a year, would you take that drug? More than half of those young people said yes. Now that seems absurd to me, and it probably does to you, at least I hope it does. But what it does is it gives us a reflection, or at least an idea, of where our society is in regard to the popularity and the importance that sports has in a lot of people's lives. And sports is just one part of this whole thing of leisure and of fun and of recreation. I think that we all understand that entertainment has radically changed our society. So much so that presidential candidates today have found that they must court Hollywood and entertainers in order to get the votes, as if entertainers knew any more about politics than a bricklayer. But for some reason, our society has lifted up sports figures and actors and actresses in a way that supposedly they're the ones that are going to speak to us about what is good for society and morality and politics, and they have absolutely no more education in it, as I said, than a plumber or a bricklayer. But this is what our society has done. Our basic value system, I would suggest to you, in our society today revolves to a very large degree around the idea of fun. You know, do we have our eyes open, though, as Christians, to how powerfully the devil can use entertainment and recreation and fun to hinder us in the Lord's work? I want to say in the beginning that there is absolutely nothing wrong with recreation in and of itself, and I want to prove to you that God is the one who gave us recreation. It is a healthy thing. It is a good thing. And whatever is sinful about pleasures and recreation, it is nothing but a cheap counterfeit that Satan has put out there for fun when God created and gave us things to enjoy in doing His will. But while we grant that pleasure itself is not evil in and of itself, we need to admit that a greater proportion of the average Christian's time and money and interest is going to a pursuit of some form of pleasure or recreation than what was true in our grandparents' generation. I say our grandparents, I'm talking about people around my age, because I know for a fact what my grandparents' life was like. I've sat and listened to the stories. I know what my dad's generation was like growing up in a time that he was a child, and it barely even resembled what my children are growing up in regard to leisure and fun and entertainment and the money that is spent on it. Here's a question that we need to ask. When we look at all of the money and the interest and the time of the average Christian that is going to a pursuit of pleasure, vacation, wholesome things, we need to ask this question: where is this time, money, and interest being taken from? In all too many cases, it is being taken from time and money and interest that would otherwise be going to the Lord's work. And I think that we have to acknowledge that and realize that it is a fact. And the thing, it's not a fact, or is it not a fact, that our overemphasis on this kind of entertainment and our recreation and our sports is, in a lot of ways, actually distracting us from our spiritual lives and from the Lord's work? Can we admit that there are times, and maybe too many times, that our hobbies and our interests in leisure have hindered us, kept us from doing more that we could have otherwise done, and maybe leading our friends and our neighbors and the lost to Jesus Christ, in leading in the growth and the well-being of a local church? The thing that is wrong is not fun, though. Let me emphasize that. When we see this as a problem, we need to understand that the thing that is wrong here is not fun. The thing that is wrong is our fascination with fun. It is that we've allowed ourselves to become so enamored with leisure and with recreation and with hobbies and things like this, that it becomes a near obsession with these things. Whether we're talking about a sport we're involved in, or maybe our exercise and our workout routine, or maybe it is simply our hobbies or our shopping or our vacations or whatever it might be. When it becomes this obsession that many people in our society have, and even many Christians, then we need to accept that it is a problem. And what needs to be said about this fascination of ours with fun? Well, first of all, we need to understand what recreation was meant to be. And I want you to notice that word. I've made this point before, but I want to emphasize this morning. Now, when we talk about recreation, it's not wrong. It's actually a good thing. It is an idea of rejuvenation, of recreation, of being renewed in some way. And the very environment that God created for the first man and woman was actually filled with all of these delights, both of the mind and of the senses. In Genesis chapter 2, in verses 8 through 9, notice there, the Lord planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there He put the man whom He had formed, and out of the ground the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. What a wonderful place to live. And who made it that way? God did. He gave them the garden to tend and to keep it. Verse 15. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. God understood that there was that what was needed for mankind was this proper balance between work and pleasure, between work and rejuvenation or recreation. He knew that beings that were created in His image would need things that would give them pleasure, and He made those things for us. We do not doubt that God provided for man to be refreshed and to be rejuvenated, and I don't doubt in any way that God intends for every one of us to be refreshed and rejuvenated. As a matter of fact, along these lines, I remember some years ago when I reached a point of what the doctor simply told me was professional burnout. And then I'd reached a point to where I couldn't even think clearly. I was sick, and I didn't know what was wrong with me. And there was a gentleman up in Indiana, in the Indianapolis area, that had come to speak for us, to hold a gospel meeting. And he actually specialized in various forms of counseling, and family counseling, and in substance abuse and other things like that. He's a faithful gospel preacher as well. When I was talking to him about this, that one of the first questions he asked me, he said, "Well, Brent, I want to know," he said, "what do you do for fun?" I said, "Well, I like to hunt." He said, "That's great." He said, "How often do you do that?" I said, "Well, I think I went 3 times last year." He said, "That's not very much fun." I said, "Well, I don't know. Is it not?" He said, "No." We need more opportunities in our life to be rejuvenated. And he wasn't necessarily saying that I needed to go hunting more. I'm not saying that. But what he was saying was that I needed to find a way to where there was a proper balance there, where there was a refreshment and a rejuvenation. We're made physically and mentally to need that refreshing. Now, the problem is that for many of us, and the way that our society is made entertainment and fun, many of us work at fun. And so it's no longer refreshing or rejuvenating anymore. But I'll have more to say about that in just a moment. I'm simply wanting to point out that God knew what we needed. And there are definitely people that are out of balance the other way, where there is no refreshment, there is no rejuvenation. We need to be careful of that. But overall in our society, that's not the problem today. People have found more than enough time for these types of things. And what we see is that while God gave man that perfect balance in the Garden of Eden, and the environment that God created for man in the beginning was one of rejuvenation, that this balance between rest and play, between being emptied and being refilled, it must have been a part of what made work itself pleasant and satisfying instead of just being simply laborious. But after sin occurred, in Genesis 3 and verses 17 through 19, then to Adam he said, "Because you've heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, 'You shall not eat of it,' cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat of the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return." Something changed. Something changed. And so that balance is harder for us to find today between being filled and being emptied, between work and refreshment. And I'm not saying that it's an easy thing to do. I'm just saying that we might need to be doing a better job of it. I think that many of us were raised by parents or had grandparents that have spoken about what their life was like and how they couldn't afford to and didn't have the opportunity to enjoy these things or to play team sports or to be able to have these things. And they want to make sure that their kids and their grandkids have them. And while there is a balance to be had, and maybe it was out of balance then, I'm not sure that it was, but maybe it was. What I believe we've done is we've gone to the opposite extreme, and we've done no favors to our children or grandchildren in providing all of these things. You know, this rejuvenation, so that we can return to productive work, is the essence of recreation, of recreation. And so we've got to understand that fun is actually one of God's gifts that He's given to us. It's what God intends that we do. He understands that life needs a rhythm and a balance between alternating cycles. And as I said, we have Christians who are imbalanced in work without any refreshment, and there's no joy in their life, and there are people that are imbalanced that are living for their hobbies and their entertainment and their fun, and there is not enough of the work, certainly not enough of God's work. You see, in nature, God provided for the refreshment that comes with variation. We think about the round of seasons, the alternation between day and night, the variety in the weather. And what we see is that God understands that we need that kind of rhythm. Happiness, pleasure, even fun, these are gifts of God to man. In Ecclesiastes 5 and in verse 18, the wise man said, "Here is what I have seen. It is good and fitting for one to eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor in which he toils under the sun all the days of his life, which God gives him, for it is his heritage." It's the idea of balance. It's God's will. In Proverbs 15 and in verse 13, the wise man said, "A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken." We don't need to live a life that is constantly laborious and that is one task after another. In verse 15, "All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he who is of a merry heart has continual feast." In Proverbs 17 and in verse 22, "A merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones." We've got to find that balanced and rhythmic way of being able to refresh ourselves, to fill ourselves when we're emptied. But then we've got to empty ourselves in order to appreciate being filled. It's kind of like those batteries that we used to have, that if you recharge them too soon, it ruined them. You know, you had to use the battery up completely before you recharged it. We need to be emptying ourselves in that proper rhythm, working for the Lord in that way. In Ecclesiastes 3, the wise man said there in verse 1, "To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven." in verse 4. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. He speaks about a time to plant. There is a time that we need to be working. In Ecclesiastes chapter 8, chapter 3, dropping down to verse 12 and 13, he said, I know that there is nothing better for them than to rejoice and to do good in their lives, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. Then later in Ecclesiastes in chapter 11, in verse 9, rejoice, O young man, in your youth. Let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. God intends for us to be rejuvenated. God intends for us to be refreshed. True recreation, true fun, is one of the gifts that God has given to man. But what have we made out of recreation? Well, we make a tragic mistake whenever we take a good thing that was meant to be a part of our life and we exaggerate it and make it more important than it was intended to be. What we do is we get things out of balance. With fun, we've made a secondary part of our life a primary focus. And I don't think we can deny that. I'm not saying everyone here has done it. I'm just saying as a whole, as a society, that's what we're seeing. And that's what the church is being confronted with constantly. And we're fighting this. We all know people, if not ourselves, that work to have fun. They have a job in order to buy their things to have fun. And work has become secondary and the fun has become primary. Our interest in fun is bigger than our interest in the main business of life. And I'm not saying the main business of life is work and providing for our families. It is to work for the Lord. And what's happened is that our life has become simply two-dimensional, that our primary focus is fun. We work in order to have fun. We have to work more and more in order to have more and more fun. And what's getting squeezed out? But the spiritual aspects of life and the spiritual work that needs to be done. What we've done with recreation is comparable, and I think I pointed this out before, it's comparable to what children would like to do with dessert at mealtime. They'd like to eat the dessert first and eat mainly dessert and eat just a little bit of the good food. And what we understand is that elevating a treat to the status of a main course is going to be detrimental to their health. And elevating recreation to the status of the main business of life is going to be detrimental to us. The evidence that we see all around us actually suggests that we have virtually made a god out of entertainment. Think about how much entertainers and sports stars are paid. Why is that? If we didn't love it, and if we didn't pursue it, if we didn't go to those concerts, and if we didn't watch those shows on television, there would be no demand, and if there were no demand, there would be no pay. We're doing it. We're creating this whole thing. And we wonder, why are these sports figures and entertainment people being paid more than anyone else in our society? That has to make a comment on how important we believe that these things are. And it is not really any different than the long tradition in Western civilization going all the way back to the Greco-Roman society, the athletics. They made athletics a religion. There were the athletic and gymnasial cults in that day. As a matter of fact, I think that there is at least a possibility, if not a likelihood, that the Nicolaitans in Revelation 2 and verse 6 and verse 15 might have been one of those athletic or gymnasial cults of Asia. Nike was the Greek goddess of victory. You think about how much of our television programming is built around recreation, not just sports, but it's about entertainment. I know that there are news shows that are on there, do-it-yourself and help type shows like that, but primarily it's all fun. In practical terms, is our modern emphasis on sports and entertainment and hobbies and physical fitness different than any in any significant way than what ancient times were? I don't believe it is when we look at the Roman society. I want you to understand that there's definitely a value in bodily exercise. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8, for bodily exercise profits a little, But godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. There's definitely some profit in it, but it pales in comparison to the profit of godliness. And we see that there are those times when we can get so caught up in our own personal health and exercise and workouts and maybe our sports or whatever it is, that we don't have time for any Bible studies. Well, we may still be coming to church, but we've squeezed out any Bible studies, and we may be falling apart in every other way. And if there's anything that we need in our life, it is the spiritual. It is the Bible studies. But there's just no time for that, because we've got our hobbies and our recreation, and then we've got to work to keep those going. And between those two things, there's no time for anything else. Anything that we come to love and to treat more important than God is idolatry. In Romans 1 and in verse 25, in Romans chapter 1 and in verse 25, he simply says that they exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. This was one of the signs of the Gentiles and their idolatrous lifestyle. They worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator. What are we doing when we put our own hobbies, physical hobbies, our exercise and our sports and all of our pursuits like that before spiritual building up? We are serving the creature, the body, ahead of the Creator. And we need to simply admit it. Let's understand that what we are doing here is devoting really an inordinate amount of attention to our fun. And what we're doing when we do that is that we're actually infringing upon the more important priorities. We think about these things far too much. It becomes a preoccupation, if not an obsession. You see a person that gets into a hobby or an interest, and that's all they want to look at online. When they're not working, they're on their computer. They're searching it. They're trying to find it. They're going shopping for it. They're looking for it. Or they're practicing whatever that particular hobby is. We have made a fetish out of fun. That's what our society has. And we, of all people, ought to be able to see where this is going. We see the problems with materialism. We see when people are lovers of money, and while we struggle with it, we recognize it's a problem. I'm not sure we recognize enough how dangerous a problem this recreation and fun has become to so many people. In Colossians 3, in verses 1 and 2, Paul said, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things that are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth." Spiritual things need to get more of our attention than what we are allowing it to have. As I said, we've allowed fun to infringe upon really what priorities are. They're higher on the scale of importance in our budget of time and money and interest. We've allowed fun to get too big a slice of the pie. I would challenge you to sit down and look at your budget and to choose those things in your budget that have to do with entertainment or recreation or fun and see how much money you're spending on that. Whether it's cable TV or whatever maybe your hobby is or whatever these things are, the things that you do for entertainment, the games that you attend, or maybe the things that you buy that you enjoy, that you have your fun with, and compare that in a month to how much you're giving to the Lord. In this society, we spend billions of dollars and hours in recreational entertainment and activities. And I think that many, if not most, Christians have fallen prey to this, at least in some form or fashion. Maybe having borrowed money to be entertained. Maybe having borrowed money, even if it's on a credit card, to buy some item, some vacation, in order to go out and to have fun. And what is crazy about that is when recreation or recreation or fun is supposed to rejuvenate us, going into debt does the opposite of that. And Satan is so good at what he does, and he's got so many Christians under that yoke. What is supposed to be refreshing has become a burden. It's something that people serve now. We'll make bigger sacrifices and endure greater hardships in order to buy that thing or to have that fun than to do almost anything else in life, including the Lord's work. We're serving it rather than it serving us. I want you to notice in Isaiah 47 and in verse 8, Isaiah said in Isaiah 47 and in verse 8, he said, "Therefore hear this now, you who are given to pleasures, who dwell securely, who say in your heart, I am and there is no one else beside me. I shall not sit as a widow, nor shall I know the loss of children." There is a false sense of security in this person who is able to have fun and enjoyment all the time. He says that these are people that are given. That's the idea of being addicted to pleasure. In Titus 3, and in verse 3, Paul wrote, "For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, and deceived." In what way, Paul? Serving various lusts and pleasures. It's not inherently immoral things. And this is what's happening today, is people serving these pleasures and this recreation and things like that. Our character and the direction of our entire society is being influenced by it. Young people are being named after sports stars, and they become the most admired role models. We're getting too many of our basic character values from the entertainment business, whose product is simply fun. And that situation is really a reversal of what ought to be the case. The entertainment business should serve our needs, and it might be reasonably expected to reflect our values, but it should not dictate our needs and our values. We've made fun a value. And people have determined that we've got to make sure that we're having fun all the time. We've accepted two false premises. And that is that pleasantness is an unqualified good and unpleasantness is an unqualified evil. Therefore, if it's pleasant and it's fun, it's good. And if it's unpleasant, it's bad. And I want to tell you, that's just not true. There are many things that are unpleasant that are good for us. We're not far from adopting really a hedonistic mentality and philosophy and the concept where pleasure is the highest good and the moral good. I want you to think about how we've come to enjoy nearly everything by its entertainment value. How fun is this? People are determining even the Lord's work by demanding to be entertained. And that's why more and more people are determining where they're going to go to church by how pleasant the sermon was. How fun was it to go to church today? How much did the kids enjoy being there in Bible class? If we say that a presentation or a sermon was boring or dry, then that means it's the worst that it can possibly be. If we say that it wasn't pleasant or that it was uncomfortable, then that was bad. I want to tell you, the Lord's work cannot compete with temporal activities on the level of fun. And that's what a lot of our brethren are trying to do. You think Satan doesn't know what he's doing? By first getting us addicted to the pleasure and the fun, then changing our value system to where everything is judged by that, and then people will begin to change the church and the gospel in order to make it fit that value system. How pleasant was the sermon? How pleasant was the song service? How pleasant was the music and worship today? And then we go down that road of trying to do everything we can to make it pleasant to man. Our attitude toward fun is really a lot like a child's. If it's fun, it's good. And if it's good, it's fun. So we insist that everything needs to be fun. I want to tell you, we've missed the point about all of these things. We've missed the point that recreation is to recreate us from work. The fact is, there are a lot of people today that haven't done enough work to need to be recreated from anything. They're so busy having fun that they have never been emptied. And too many kids are experiencing that today. We sometimes allow, then, recreation to dissipate us rather than to recreate us. What I mean by that is that it is actually, we're working at our fun. We're so given to it that we're pursuing it to the point that we're exhausted. You ever come back from a vacation worn out? I have. There's something wrong with that. When you get back to work after a vacation and you're exhausted and you need a few days laid back at work to be able to catch your breath, you did something wrong on that vacation. And I've done it. And it is when we become addicted to these things that we pursue them with so much vigor, like an addiction, like a drug addict, it's his substance abuse, we're not recreating ourselves. We are dissipating ourselves. In 1 Peter 4, in verses 3 and 4, unbelievers see that we as Christians do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation. That's what sin does to us. Sin dissipates us. It exhausts us. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." Sin wears us out. The things of this world exhaust us because there is no pleasure. There is no gratification. And Peter says that the world should see that we don't run in that same flood of dissipation. But I want to tell you what the world is seeing by a lot of Christians today is we run in exactly the same flood of dissipation. It may not be immoral, but it's completely temporal and almost void of spiritual. And we're too exhausted and we're too tired and we're too busy to be talking to them about their souls or to be studying with anyone else or to be a part of any extra Bible studies. In Ephesians 5 and verses 3 through 4, he says, "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks." What's happening is we're trying to find our ultimate meaning and goodness in something that is only transitory. It's not eternal. And that is messed up. The pleasures of sin are just passing pleasures. Hebrews 11 and in verse 25. In the realm of temporal things, even the good things that God created for us to enjoy are only temporal. They've got to have their place. We've got to know that these are not the most important things. And we don't need to just tell our kids that. We need to show them that by the way that we live and not live for those things. What's happening is we're getting less pleasure out of our pleasure because we make it an end in and of itself. Does that make sense to you? When we make pleasure an end in and of itself, we get less pleasure out of it. It is intended to be a filling up when we've emptied ourselves in some good work that has exhausted us and has emptied us. We fill ourselves up so that we can go back and enjoy that good work that we do, primarily the Lord's work. But fun, even when it is good, does not constitute the end of all things. In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and in verse 6, the person who lives in pleasure there, he says, is dead spiritually while they live. Dead spiritually, because they're given to that. I want to tell you, we've got to see the seriousness of what we've done with fun. What is the consequence? Well, our fascination with fun is one of the reasons that we have to work so much overtime, why we're so deeply in debt and have so little money for the Lord's work, because we borrowed money to get all of those things that we enjoy so much. And it's not only our children that have expensive toys and enjoy expensive fun. Addiction to temporal enjoyment is many times to blame when we run out of money even to take care of ourselves. And then we're crying out, "I don't have enough. I can't make the house payment. I can't buy groceries. I can't do this." How did we get there? In so many cases, we overspent ourselves on pleasure and fun. Proverbs 21 and in verse 17, "He who loves pleasure will be a poor man." Maybe we need to write that on our mirror. Maybe we need to put that on the tag on the back of our car. "He who loves pleasure will be a poor man. He who loves wine and oil will not be rich." I want to tell you, our fascination with fun is one of the reasons that we have the problems that we have in our families. I'm going to be talking about this in another lesson that will be entirely devoted to that. But when it comes to our spiritual health as families, there is a sense in which we are entertaining and recreating ourselves to death spiritually. We're having so much fun that we're dying spiritually. We're pursuing these interests at the expense of much higher priorities, and our families are hurting because of it. Our children are not spiritually minded because of it. To judge by the time and the money that we spend on all these activities, some of us as parents appear to be more concerned about the athletic success of our kids than we are about their spiritual success and welfare. And we've got to be honest with ourselves about that. What is it going to matter if we gain, or if our children gain, this whole world and lose their own soul? As a matter of fact, I've got to say that as much as I enjoy organized sports, they have gotten completely out of hand in the way that parents act about these things. And the amount of money that's spent on them and the time that is spent on them on something that is going to make virtually little difference in a child's life overall. Are there good things about it? Absolutely. Are there lessons that are learned? Yes, they can be learned in other things too. They can be learned in work. There's nothing wrong with either one. But there's something terribly wrong when people live for the organized sports of their kids. Our fascination with fun is one of the reasons why we stay overcommitted and have so little time for the Lord's work. We're driving ourselves crazy trying to have it all, which is materialism, and trying to do it all, which is overcommitment. We work at our play, we play at our worship, and we worship our work. Think about that. I didn't come up with that, but that's good. We work at our play, we play at our worship, and we worship our work. We need to make some changes. And we need to hold each other accountable. We need to be able to say to one another, hey, there's a problem here. What do you think about this? We're being dangerously foolish if we think that there is time in life to pursue every interest that appeals to us. The Lord's work is going to suffer when we do that. And our fascination with fun is one of the reasons that we have so little time. We have so little time for personal evangelism. It is draining our character and our spirituality. Think about it. Very many of us have some type of hobby that we're very busy in some way, shape, or form. And yet, how many spend at least one night a week in personal evangelism? I guarantee you there's at least one night a week that I'm involved in some way in some form of entertainment. If not mine, some sports for my kids or something like that. How many of us spend at least one night in personal evangelism? We've got to understand that not only are we spending too much time and money and emphasis on entertainment, but a great deal of the entertainment that we're chasing is becoming more and more filthy and worldly in and of itself. We're guilty of polluting our minds and hearts with the things that degrade and dissipate rather than recreate. Going back to Ephesians 5, we saw in verses 3 through 4 that there are things that are not fitting for Christians. And we're allowing ourselves to watch those things on television, to watch those things as they're a part of the entertainment environment that we're around. Whatever damage that we've done to ourselves by entertainment, we've got to understand that however clean our entertainment might be, when we are putting it before the Lord's work, we are going to destroy a local church. It will die a slow, slow death. When we read about the Israelites in Exodus 32 and in verse 6, it says about them that they sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. We can't help but think about ourselves when we read that. And this was when they were idolatrous there at the base of Mount Sinai and made their idols. In Isaiah 5, in verses 11 and 12, Isaiah said, "Woe to those who rise early in the morning, that they may follow intoxicating drink, who continue until night, till wine inflames them, the harp, the strings, the tambourine, the flute, and wine are their feast, but they do not regard the work of the Lord, nor consider the operation of His hands." I know he's talking there about alcohol and things that are immoral. But I want to tell you, there are a lot of people that are rising up early in the morning to go and pursue their hobbies and their interests and their recreation and do not regard the work of the Lord nor consider the operation of His hands. God finally said to the children of Israel in Amos 5 and 23, "Take away from me the noise of your songs, for I will not hear the melody of your stringed instruments. Woe to you who put far off the day of doom, who cause the seat of violence to come near, who lie on beds of ivory, stretch out on your couches, eat lambs from the flock and the calves from the midst of the stall, who chant to the sound of stringed instruments and invent for yourselves musical instruments like David, who drink wine from the bowls and anoint yourselves with the best ointments, but are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph." This is the mindset that we come into when we put a premium on entertainment and we get farther and farther and farther away from spiritual values, from being troubled by the lost in the world all around us and the need to be busy. The fields are white into harvest. God intends that we would refresh ourselves from time to time, but we need to be sowing the seed. We need to be reaping those fields of the lost that need to be saved. We need to be doing our work. I hope that if you see an application of this in your life, that you will be honest enough with yourself and humble enough that you'll make a change. This is just one more in a series of looking at worldliness and how it affects us in materialism and in our fascination with fun. If you need to make some changes and do that, if you need God's forgiveness, seek His forgiveness. Acknowledge your failures and ask Him to help you and ask for your brethren's help. Let us hold one another accountable that we'd be more focused on our spiritual work than on our fascination with fun. And if you've never obeyed the gospel, then we hope that you will do that before it's too late. Come believing in Jesus. Confess your faith in Him. Repent of your sins and be baptized before it's too late. Whatever your need is, won't you please come while we stand and sing the invitation song.